This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Hey, and away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,334. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
I'm
you are the Men's Room. I'll tap today the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
The clock.
You're going to draw. All right, here we go to Merlin, where three teens who missed their Lyft ride decide to steal a golf cart and take off down Route 50. Meanwhile, Ohio police celebrate a huge drug bust. $100 in cash and four small bags of weed. Isn't that nifty? Georgia man fleeing cops leaves his $100 winning scratch-off ticket behind. Men on motorcycles accused of harassing bison at Yellowstone and not being kind. And a Baltimore man gets 18 months after driving his truck into City Hall over a water bill dispute. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
Here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, let's face it. People lie all the time. Sometimes it's a little white lie. Sometimes it's egregious. Sometimes it's a lie by omission. But whatever the lie, it's usually associated with our desire to avoid the consequences. For example, on a recent podcast, Kendall Jenner, she admitted that she's a stoner. No big deal, but she never told anyone for fear of backlash. Similarly, former President Jimmy Carter, he finally admitted 40 years after the fact that, yes, Willie Nelson did smoke a joint on the roof of the White House, and he wasn't alone. He smoked a joint with Jimmy's son. And remember Rachel Dolezal? She's the former chapter president of the NAACP, but she lost her gig back in 2015 when she admitted that she was not a black woman. She was, in fact, a white woman. Well, she now has company. Introducing Jessica Krug. It's a white chick from Kansas City who'd been pretending to be a black woman from the Caribbean. Well, when she came clean, she lost her gig. But like I said, people lie to avoid the consequences. On yesterday's show, we had a guy call in, and he admitted for the first time that he was responsible for burning down the grain silo and an abandoned barn in his hometown. He said the hometown was tiny. He was never going to cop to it, even though all these years had passed. He told us, but he's still not telling people there. And sure, it was an accident, but he kept quiet to avoid the repercussions. Well, today we talk about coming clean, finally confessing, full disclosure, but waiting for the right time to do it. That part is key. It's a men's room fill in the blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank.
Be part of the big show, call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Text 77999 and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Home of and away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,334. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, you bring us three stories from the news, or stories in general, each and every week. All of them suck to a certain degree. It is up to us to determine which of the three stories suck the least. What are we looking at today as far as the severity of these stories?
I don't think they're very severe. I think at the moment, perhaps people were very unhappy, but overwhelmingly, by and large, they are not severe.
Okay.
All right.
But it's up to you to determine out of the three, who sucks the least. So who sucks less coming up on the program. And it's been a while, so today we're going to once again whip out a men's room blank question for you. We did have a caller yesterday who was basically talking about it. We were talking about just why
smoke.
Was there smoke in general. And a lot of people out there got away with their situations at hand. It maybe took them years. You know that your parents have probably told you things way after the fact that you did not understand or you did not know at the time. And it wasn't that they were trying to more shield you or guard you from what they had done or what you did not need to know. But at some point in time, when you reach that level of maturity, they might just spill the beans on a few things that now would make more sense to you.
My mother's told me so many things I did not want to know. But in return, I've stayed pretty tight-lipped about the stuff that pissed her off even when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? You still don't need to know. And in a lot of instances, certain stories come up where they still harbor a little bit of bitterness because it was so bad at the time. You know, they're beyond it, but there's that whiff of disappointment. They still,
sure.
All these years later, and I realize on two separate of those particular situations, I'm like, there's so much more that you don't know, and I will never tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I will tell my kids what I did, but that even to this day, my parents, you know, they'll bring up certain things, and I'm like, I'm glad you're just mad about that, because if you knew the whole story, you'd be real pissed.
Do you have anybody in your family that likes to tell those stories?
My mother. My mother would be the first one to throw me under
saying,
the bus.
Is your brother? I should rephrase that. I forget. You only have the one brother.
Yeah.
Does your brother ever do it? Like, this will shock you. There's somebody in my family who likes to get a little, few beverages and start telling stories.
I can guess
and
who.
I'm like, hey, like, I know that's in the past, but like, Mom doesn't want to know that.
Right.
She never wanted to know that story.
There are just certain things they don't. And you know what the problem is with me, man? My brother was such a good kid growing up. Like, he has like two stories that were bad, and my parents know both of them. So if he's going to share any story, it's him telling a story about me. Because I was not so good when I was a kid. So we just kind of have an agreement between each other. Like, if I don't bring it up, we're not talking about it.
Right, right.
And typically, it depends on the situation. When people get a little, as you said, when people get a little tipsy, they're willing to spill the beans on some things.
I don't even know why Wonder Woman had to lasso of truth. Like, hand them a bottle of Jack. They'll tell you what you want to know.
Yeah. I mean, like, even to the point where at one point in time, I wrecked a motorcycle into the side of my house because I was coming back from the hospital because I had to get a couple shots and I had to get a Z-Pack for a venereal disease.
Now, the person that was in the home that I was living with, it was his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, despite all of the things,
was it his motorcycle as well?
It was his motorcycle. We shared it, but it was in his name.
Damn.
I crashed your motorcycle. Look, man. So
I have your sister.
There was.
She gave me a binocular to see.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying
right.
Anything.
Right. So all of that story that you know is true. He does not know all of that story.
Right.
To this day, he does not know the situation. You know, and there were certain, okay, same guy, all right? Same guy, younger sister. We agreed on an unspoken principle that no one would ever know. So we were going back home at that point in time, and we both lived in an apartment downtown, but we both needed rides out to close to where our parents lived.
Sure.
So it was one of those things where I stopped off at my house. I either did what I needed to do as far as go to a family dinner, or do my laundry, or steal food from my family's home. Whatever it was I was doing, he was picking me up. And on the way back, there was a strip club that was on the way back home into town.
All right.
So we're going to stop into the strip club. Why the hell not? You know what I mean? We're out here. It was one of our regular haunts anyway. We're still like 18, 19 years old. So for us, strip clubs are still pretty fresh as far as, you know, we had not gone to Vegas. We had not been to a strip club that was like, so strip club is a strip club. We're going to go because even at 18, you could get in, even when they served alcohol. Just couldn't drink.
Yeah, sure. But that's how a lot of strip clubs are.
But we knew the manager at that particular strip club, so we had no
problem. By the way, I got to ask, just because it's in West Virginia, did it have a classy name like Beavers?
Something. Yeah, right. Exactly. It wasn't the Salty Clam or anything like you'd find at the beaches of Maryland. It was,
I mean, probably. I don't care where you're from.
Leave it to Beaver. Yeah, come on down.
Yeah, right.
Oh, they're natural, this area. Yeah,
Jiggles or whatever it was. Stretch marks. I don't know what the name of it was.
Jugs. But Jugs of plenty.
Well, you have to remember, we know the manager of this place. We know him very well. And so we can get a couple beers in there as long as he's working. Turns out he's not working. We still figured out a way to get beers. We sit down. We watch a couple dancers. We're getting a little bit, two or three beers deep. We don't have far to go home. This is going to be a fun night. And then they bring up the next dancer. Now, the next dancer just happened to be this person's younger sister. Now, this youngest sister was 17 years old.
Oh.
All right. She was still in high school. All right, but she ran a little bit fast at that point in time. She
it's
was
the West Virginia way. You get a job, pay for your own school.
She was the youngest, but she was also, you know, the one that was maybe more mature at those ages than her siblings were. Either way,
she had big boobs.
The look on my buddy's face when he realized, he stood up and he said her name and he pointed at her and he said, "What in the F are you doing in here? And what are you doing?" He lost it. He completely loses it. So the deal is...
Were you kind of disappointed, though? Because you have the chance to see his sister, dance.
You know what, man? The problem with the situation was that I knew his sister from being very young. I knew her from the time that she was 5 years old.
Sure.
Because, you know, like anything else, you go to practices. His mom was involved with the school. Blah, 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 blah. I know this person. I still think of her as a child. So for me, I'm just like, God, you know?
Yeah, look, man, I saw Drew Barrymore in E.T. Times have changed.
Yeah, but I knew this person personally. You know what I mean? I knew. So at this point in time, I'm like, God, we've got to get out of here. You know what I mean? And he's trying to get her out of here. And now, since our guy, who was the manager, is not working that night, you know, then there's a problem. Why are you... And
well, of course, and you're ruining business. Man.
He's explaining.
Yeah, that is not good.
He's explaining what the deal is. Like, you know, I think the manager initially thought that was maybe a boyfriend or.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like somebody just causing trouble or whatever the deal was. That was far from the case. But the deal was that when we got in the car, I told him I'd drive home because he was fuming. You know, so I start driving. He's like, "We will never speak of this to anybody when we get home. Of our roommates, I need to take care of the situation."
But I'll say it sometime in the future on a radio program.
So you know me. Oh, this is 30 years. So, like, enough time has passed, like this question.
It's never.
Once enough time has passed. So you know me. When we get back to we're living with seven guys. They all know, most of them know this person. And
right.
I am dying. I am dying sitting there because this, to me, was somewhat entertaining, somewhat disturbing, somewhat funny. This is a great story. This is the story that I want to tell everyone I know. And it was so hard for me to keep my big mouth shut.
Like, did you?
Yes. Oh, I did. I never told anybody about it. And I don't know how that got resolved because he wasn't really... I never went back.
to that particular location.
To that particular one, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm like, what the hell? And it wasn't the best place anyway to go to. There was another place that opened up in town that was had a little more shine to it, so to speak.
Foxes.
You know what I mean? Foxies or whatever it was. Once the new place opened up, that was kind of forgot about. That was already...
Jalopies.
That was already a low-level place to begin with.
Sure.
So it wasn't like the choice if you were going to have that type of night. You could drive into Pennsylvania, and they had a couple more clubs up there that had different kinds of rules. Weird beer rules, though. So we try to stay away from the...
You mean the place with an underage girl on stage and serving beers to the underage dudes?
Yeah, that wasn't the
classy place, huh? All right,
look, but I will say this, Ted. You will appreciate this. It was across the street from a roadhouse called the Purple Moose Saloon.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you want to talk about, I mean, that if the Purple Moose Saloon wasn't getting you entertained enough, you walked across the street.
Right.
That's basically how this deal went down. But I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say anything. And then later on in life, I think a couple of my friends who were there know now. I might have told them a couple of years ago, but I promised them I'd keep my mouth shut, and I did. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Well, it's tough, too. I mean, if you're ever in a strip club and you stand up and call out the person, like maybe your friend knew they're from high school or whatever, like it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
No. Like they will ask you to leave very quickly.
Right. I mean,
person on stage doesn't want you pointing them out.
And to the point where there were a couple times where...
Rebecca?
Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation where you were no longer
with... You know what you say to make people feel better? Oh, yeah, dude, we know.
You're no longer with someone, and then one of your buddies is like, you know, after enough time has passed, obviously you need to wait for a little while. And just, you know, well, Jeff, why do you think that this wasn't a good idea for this relationship? Because she wanted to F me about four different times and tried.
Right.
Like, oh, really? You know, he's like, yeah, I didn't want to say anything then. But, you know, and I was like, wow, really? You? He's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, you kind of should have. You know, at this point in time.
Looking back.
Right. I mean, seriously, what the hell's the difference at this point? You
know? Well, the other one, too, is I think if somebody starts dating somebody and it seems like they're really going to date. Like, if it's in within that first month, I'm always like, not always. It's only half of the month. Just so you know, we did hook up once.
Yeah.
Or what? Yeah. So if you kissed her on the mouth.
Just know she's into beer.
Weren't you all excited to let your buddy know that you were Eskimo brothers at one point in time a few years back? Aren't you just fired up about that?
Yes. He's a good-looking man. It was more about my pride than the chick.
Was he, as I'm saying, was the level of what you were with far and superior because of his good looks?
It just worked out. I don't know how to explain. That's what I'm saying. It was more about me wanting to... That sounds so bad. But I was more excited that I could just call him and be like, hey!
Because you did.
Right, like, don't get me wrong. She was attractive.
Sure. But yeah, like, hey, man, guess what? Like, Eskimo pies for everyone.
Why are you calling me at 8 a.m.?
Well, I got a story to tell. If you've ever wondered about Willie Nelson, you shouldn't. It's Willie Nelson. I think Willie Nelson gets a pass like Snoop Dogg in the world of weed. Willie Nelson, he could take a tour bus in Canada. Obviously, marijuana is legal there now. He could take a tour bus into Texas, into the heart of Mississippi, some of these places that we know.
Or just some things that you can't do anything about. You could tell Keith Richards, you should stop doing cocaine. Well, he's not going to. Sure. So at this point, if he drew up a line on Conan O'Brien's show on live TV, you're like... Let it go. It's Keith Richards.
If you're the governor of Alabama, and for some reason, let's say the Snoop Dogg is from there, and you're making it National Snoop Dogg Day in Alabama, or whatever it is, state holiday, some crap like that, you know damn well that when he rolls up there, he's going to reek of marijuana. He'll probably have a joint on him.
Sure.
He might smoke it when he's up there. And you know what? Every single person up there does not care.
Didn't your daughter, like, smoke a joint with him, or she tossed it to her?
He was doing this thing at the Paramount Theater.
You pass a blunt, man. You can't toss him.
And the name of the tour was the Puff Puff Pass Tour.
Okay.
So I get my kids tickets to the Puff Puff Pass Tour, all right, at the Paramount Theater, and like any 17-year-old, whatever she was, with a bunch of her friends, they're not going to go to dinner. They're not doing all that stuff. They get dropped off downtown at 5. When the doors open at 7, they are the first in line. They've been standing out there. They might have smuggled in some vodka, knowing my kid. But either way, you know,
I put it in this Coke bottle.
Oh, my God, that moron. But, you know, I know what she's up to. I know her potential. They open the door. The floor and the seating of the Paramount have been taken out. This is standing a room only below. There's some seats in the back of the Paramount, but up on a kind of a little bit of a level. Then you have the entire top balcony that is all seating. However, the floor is empty. Kind of like last time we saw Soundgarden or whoever. They just open up the floor. Well, my kids and her friends, they rush the front of the stage. Now, this is the Snoop Dogg Puff Puff Pass Tour. So there's about four or five artists that are going to go up there and do their thing. Obviously, Snoop Dogg is closing the show. However, during all the performances of all the rappers that are up there, Snoop Dogg continues to walk out on stage smoking. All right? So no matter who's on, like he's
because remember, it's a no-smoking venue.
So he's got all he's doing is lighting joints, taking a big drag off of them, and then handing them down to the people in the front row to pass around to the entire venue. Thus, the puff puff pass tour. Okay,
That's a good branding.
This is a little bit before COVID, you see. So, of course, with my daughter and her friends who look older than they are. He throws one down to my kid, and my kid's just sitting there chiefing on this thing.
You're doing the puff puff. We need the pass.
Right, exactly. And so, like, she got like three or four of these things. So by the time her ride got there later on, I mean, she is blown the hell out. You know what I mean? And so it took her a little bit of time to tell me the truth on that one. But she knows me, so she knows I'm a smoker. I just like, look, dude, that's really cool.
And it's Snoop.
You know what I mean?
So.
If it would have been just like Joe Blow. And
oh, that'd be
her,
cocaine.
I'd have caught her on the side of a street, like downtown, smoking a joint, and be like, dude, what are you doing? You know, like, just go to my house or someplace right. else. Like, don't do that out here.
Well, the best part of that story, too, I don't know if you remember, but one day where I work, and you just go, hey, man, you go to a lot of rap shows? Yeah, I do. Rappers ever pass you weed? I'm like, no.
Can I show you the pictures?
And then you're like, well, they passed my daughter. I was like, yeah, they don't pass free weed to 40-year-old white dudes.
No,
right.
So I got all these pictures blowing up on my phone of my kid, like, with Snoop Dogg behind her hog-legging one. I'm like, I don't know whether to be proud or not, but I kind of am.
Proud.
You know what I mean?
Proud.
Well, Willie Nelson is the same
guy. I mean, again, if my kid said, Dad, I did 14 lines of cocaine, I'd be like, you dumb son, with Keith Richards. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Water under the bridge.
That's one of the reasons I won't tell her about the night she was conceived.
There's a lot my kids do not need to know about that.
Just because I know the state of where I was at that point.
Yep.
I was just, I was going at that point in time. And then, yeah. Yeah, she won't hear that one. That's why she's in San Diego, though. We can tell that one right now on the air. Willie Nelson wrote his
Dad, I am radio.com.
Exactly.
Were you doing cocaine with us?
You know, we used to be on in San Diego, but now that we're not, F it. Willie Nelson wrote his autobiography. He confessed that he smoked pot in the White House one night when he was spending the night. Jimmy Carter says in a new documentary, Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jimmy.
Yeah. Rock and Roll,
how about
Jimmy?
Homes for Humanity President? He says that his companion that shared the pot with him was one of the servants in the White House. That is not exactly true. It was actually one of my sons, which he didn't want to categorize as a pot smoker. The former president's son, James Earl Chip Carter III, told the L.A. Times that it was, in fact, he and Nelson who were up on the roof of the White House September 13th, 1980. It's taken all this time for Jimmy Carter just to admit.
For Jimmy. Okay, my Willie Nelson, years ago.
He never said who he was up there with.
He didn't say who he's with.
We just assumed it was Billy Carter.
But he straight up said, like, oh, yeah, I visited the White House. It was kind of a cool thing, you know, for a country artist, and I smoked a joint on the roof of the White House. Keep in mind, at the moment he said that, like, the world went crazy. But it's Willie Nelson. He's like, well, yeah. And, right, he said there was someone else, but I will not say who.
Mm-hmm. Singer was taking a break during a White House performance at the time back in 1980. In the break, he said, let's go upstairs. According to Chip, as he told the LA Times, we just kept going until we got onto the roof, where we leaned against the iconic flagpole at the top of the White House and lit one up. I mean, you want to talk about a place to just sit and look around and smoke a joint. And you're looking at Willie Nelson.
Right.
On top of the White House. You know what I mean? And not only that, but as they say, most of the avenues in that area run into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter where you're looking, wherever you turn, there are streets that are just coming right at you. He said that most of the avenues run in there so you could sit up and you could see all the traffic coming right at you. It's a nice place up there. The story has circulated for years. The thing is, Chip never fully confirmed, telling G2 back in, GQ in 2015 that Nelson told me not to ever tell anybody. Nelson was actually one of several musicians to visit or perform at Carter's White House, including Bob Dylan, Loretta Lynn, Charles Mingus, and others. But the Carter revelation was something that he tried to keep quiet for a number of years. So our men's room blank question, once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Men's Room. The Men's Room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Our Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Leo. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So you want to hear a little story, I guess.
Sure.
I guess the best way to put it is it was about 14 years ago. My kids were like 2 and 6. And we had one of those great, cute, nice babysitters that me and the wife went out, got drunk, and she passed out. And I said, Bill, let's smoke a joint. She goes, all right. So next thing you know, I'm smoking a joint. Well, next thing you know, I'm having a little fun with the babysitter. And forgive me for lack of a better term, it was probably one of the dreams in our lives that we can say, yes, I had the babysitter. But my wife thought I did, but for about, last 10 years, nothing ever happened. All of a sudden, we went out to dinner, and that little babysitter is now our server at the restaurant.
Oh, jeez.
And my wife looks over at me, and she goes, you did, didn't you? And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, look, it's been so long, I don't care. So I said, well, I might have had a little fun with her. Well, that didn't go over too well, but needless to say, I'm kind of glad I did because it was something I did 10 years prior to.
Are you still with your wife?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you think that she has a get-out-of-jail card?
Huh?
Do you believe that she... See, in my situation, that's just fine. But what you've done is you've enabled me to take a green light whenever said green light would come around. So, in other words, like, look, if you're going to cheat on me, that's and if I accept that and I say, hey, look, okay, let's just move on with stuff, I know in the back of my head that I've got a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Oh, sure.
And I'm going to use it eventually. Do you think that she has done that?
I think she has when she met Ted.
I was like, wait a minute. Did I meet the babysitter or the wife?
Oh, no. The babysitter. No, it was the babysitter. We met her about 10 years later because back when then she was, somewhere in 18, I think. Because she's now somewhere about 30.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty good math there for you. I would go with that number as well.
Yeah,
actually, it should have been 20, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so fuzzy from so long ago.
How long was your wife mad at you after you finally came clean?
We went home and had sex that evening, so I guess she didn't really get too mad.
With each other.
She was kind of happy that I admitted something that she believed that happened a long time ago.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah, I've never done that.
You F that waitress.
Okay.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
You know me. Waitresses like me.
All right. I'm so confused. Like, why did my name come up in there?
I have no idea.
I think
that
better? Like,
Did you?
Okay.
Hope you slept with her.
Right.
Maybe your Eskimo brothers were him.
What is this restaurant?
Maybe you get a pass. You know, people have like 5 people they get a pass with if it ever happens. Maybe one of those people. Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
I have dated somebody that was a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of her clients were fans of the show.
All right.
So one day in the car, she goes, have you been to the Bunny Ranch? Did you sleep with hookers? I was like,
oh, God.
Why do you ask? Some guy in my chair told me I should know that. I was like, well, first of all, that guy wants to sleep with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That guaranteed. Yeah. Right.
And then like an idiot, I'm like, yeah, 6.
Oh, you didn't have to give the number.
She goes, why did you give the number? I go, I just didn't want any lies between us.
That's right. Jesus. You asked. That was the first. That was the first time.
Not helping Montgomery.
Ask me how I did on number 2.
Yeah, I only went there 3 times.
That's right. I had coupons from the time before.
How many women total?
Oh.
You said if there were 6 the first time. Right.
Second time was 30.
Could you ever remember their names?
Like, you know, Dancer and Prancer. Vixen. Can you make a song out of it? Trixie and Mercedes and Lexus and Vixen.
No, but by the time I was going to, like, Dennis's birthday parties, there was just some funny scenes, like... Because there's just regular people there, too, that hadn't been there before.
Sure.
And, like, one girl's in the pool, and I'm chatting with her, and she goes, have we partied together? And I was like, yeah.
We sure have.
Yeah. And then I remember some other girl was like, yeah, I'm only 20. And I was like, pfft. I was like, I know you look young. What are you, 25? And she's like, no, for real. And I was like, how old are you? She's like, 26.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn, man.
I was like, that's not a sales pitch with me. So you don't need to lie to me.
What are you talking about? Somebody who kept their mouth shut for a number of years would be Dennis Hoff.
Dennis Hoff, absolutely.
I mean, the number one guy probably in North America as far as being able to not use his knowledge to put people in bad situations. Not bad situations, but situations that would probably
be bad for them. Like one of the best stories he told us, he said, look, man, I'm a guy... as many secrets, and I do not give up the names of my clients, etc. But he and a couple of other people had gone to Congress. You remember the story?
Oh, yeah.
They roll into Congress, and he said when he walked in, and this gives you an idea of who might be involved, but basically, everyone in Congress looks terrified when they see him just out in the crowd. And now he's walking up to take the mic, and it's like, you can just see the brow sweat on whatever percentage of these Congress people. But he was there to talk about protecting wild horses. And he's like, the look of relief when it's like, my name's Dennis Hoff, and you know, you can hear the heartbeats. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people are relieved.
And then he's like, yeah, man, we need to, you know, protect wild horses. Like, oh, thank God. Oh, Jesus.
That was kind of part of the deal at his birthday party, too. There were certain famous people that he would introduce you to, and it was like...
they aren't here?
No, it was the opposite. Like, if he made a point to introduce you to somebody, or they, it was like, they are here. And there was other... but it was understood there's other people there, too, you may or may not recognize. But you don't, you're not going to get introduced to them because you shouldn't know.
Did you recognize any of these unknown people? Or are they just like politicians and people that you...
China, unfortunately, she passed away.
Right. And,
Joey Buttafuoco.
Not surprised.
When one of the buses.
So you weren't able to be introduced to Joey Buttafuoco. I would figure if anybody would be like, here comes Joey Buttafuoco.
Oh, no, Joey Buttafuoco talked my ear off for like an hour.
He did? About what?
I don't even remember.
Joey Buttafuoco.
Like any party, right? There's a lot of moving parts, but at certain times, certain people like me and Joey enjoy a cocktail. So I just kind of got stuck with guys like us.
Oh, boy.
I've got bigger penis than you do, Joey. Crazy part about that one was, Ted, I don't know the timeline and how old you were, but I swear to God, the Stone Temple Pilots song Creep came out at the exact same time that Joey Buttafuoco got his penis chopped off.
So no,
that's not Buttafuoco.
That's not Buttafuoco,
that's
is it?
Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, that was John. What did Buttafuoco
just
do?
John Bobbitt.
John Bobbitt.
Buttafuoco kill his wife?
He was dating, I think ironically, going back to that guy's call, remember he was like hooking up with the babysitter, she knocks on the door and shoots the wife. The wife survived.
Oh, that's correct.
Okay, right.
Joey Buttafuoco.
Yeah, the Long Island Lolita,
yeah.
Oh, man.
I get that's how I was like, I do the Buttafuoco?
Yeah.
Right, you're confusing him with John Bobbitt.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the other idiot.
Men's Room Blank Question. Well, with John Bobbitt, that happened too. The Stone Temple Pilots song.
The man I used to be.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, John Bobbitt.
That was hilarious at the time.
John. It really was.
It's still kind of funny.
Men's Room Blank Question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
It's half funny.
Now people are having questions. Didn't Ted bump into Tom Arnold or something there? Is Tom Arnold there?
No, no? He wasn't drinking. I've been in a room where Tom Arnold was.
Oh, Tom Arnold was.
Did he do the celebrity hockey tournament here in Seattle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, right.
That's how I met him.
See, that's how rumors start. You met him at a hockey tournament because he's a huge hockey fan, but instead, like, Ted had sex with Tom Arnold at the Bunny Ranch.
That's a bad rumor.
I think Tom Arnold, he'd probably be one of the nicest guys you ever met, wouldn't he?
Super nice.
I would imagine intense, but nice.
Super intense and kind of hard to believe. Like, oh, no, like. People were like, no, that's him sober. Like, I can't imagine when he actually, like, partook.
See, I mean, at least you have stories like that. Like, look, there are some celebrities I saw at this place, and I'm not going to mention any of them are. That's fine. I have one bit of information that I've been sworn to secrecy, and I've told you guys. A very popular actor that women love who has hair plugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate not saying who it is.
It's not Jeremy Piven's. We all know that.
He ain't fooling anybody. Come on, Jeremy. Brother, hair does not grow in reverse.
Is this a dreamy guy?
It's a dreamy guy. All the girls love him. And it's no big deal, but I guess this particular actor, you know, like, if you ask Jeremy Piven, you have hair plugs, you'd be like, what do you think, dummy? Right? Like, of course I do. John Travolta. Yeah, I got hair plugs. I look like S without.
David Lee
Roth. A lot of these guys, right, they got no problem admitting. And I guess this guy does not want people to know that he's already getting hair plugs.
Okay.
I'm like, what difference does it make?
No, as long as you look how you want to look.
I can't hang it. The ladies love him.
Men's Room Blank
his
Question.
His bald ass.
You just can't touch his hair. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Actually, it's the opposite of a woman.
What's that?
He's probably like, touch my hair.
Feel please. It. Yeah, yeah. Don't worry if it comes out. I'll get more
run your
later.
Fingers through the back part.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So once enough time had passed, I admitted to my mother to doing acid.
How much time had passed, and why did you feel the need to confess? Had you done something weird at the time, or were you just telling her something you'd done?
Pretty much the latter. I didn't feel the need as much as it was just kind of an opportune moment. Let me explain. I'm sober now, but I had been a habitual marijuana smoker since the age of 16. And at a certain point when I was in college, it was Thanksgiving or something. I had already had a couple in me, and she just kind of asked me, so what all have you done? And I just gave her the laundry list. I tried to hide from her the fact that I had done ecstasy at that point, but she kind of pulled that one out of me. And anyway, that conversation happened before I had done LSD. And let me back up a little bit. Back, when we're kids, me and my brother, of course, for us anyway, it was uncool to acknowledge that my mother's music was good in the slightest. So we used to always have this sort of thing that, the Beatles suck. And we just mentioned that. Whatever point, I don't believe that now, but they did back when I was a kid. So I'm in college, they come to pick me up for the holidays. We're driving down to Federal Way from Seattle, and she's playing the oldie station, and the Beatles come on, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and my attitude had changed, and I just go, the Beatles rock. And she goes, what made you decide that? And I just kind of sheepish grin, I just went, acid.
Hey, yeah, I mean, seriously.
Why not? I mean, hell, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Let me ask you this. What is the hardest drug you've done, and is your mother aware of that?
I've done pretty much everything under the sun that didn't involve IV drug use, so I guess Oxycontin, and I don't think that she does.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know she does. I mean, look, my parents know that for a while I was a little strung out, and they might even have assumptions about what I was on. They'll be right about some of them, they'll be wrong about some, but it's never really been addressed. We just call it, the bad times.
The bad times?
Yeah, the bad, it kind of encompasses, and I think for my parents,
what, 20 to 45?
probably 20 to 30. The dark decade is what I call for myself, but, they knew I was on something, but I don't think they wanted to know. But I honestly think it wouldn't be nearly as bad as they probably thought. Because at that time, crack was really taking off in Baltimore City. Well, I never smoked crack, but I think maybe they think that I used to smoke crack. So if I ever come clean to them, it would almost be good news.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, good. Hey, man, I did not do heroin or crack. And they'd be waiting for me to finish. I'd be like, oh, no, I did not do heroin or crack. I'm done.
That's pretty much same for me. Those are the things I haven't done.
On the flip side, did your mom come clean to you about any of her experimentation?
Yeah, but hers is pretty short list.
As far as you know, again, if I'm talking to my kids in the future, I've done this. There's a few I'm going to leave off.
My mom told me that when she was 20, 21 years old, when I was first born, that she loved these things called Black Betty's, or they were big purple pills, and they were diet pills.
Yeah, amphetamines.
But they were speed, I guess, to some degree.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's it.
So she'd pop speed constantly. So that was her thing. Like, look, man, your dad was into smoking pot.
Yeah, but parents call it diet pills. Like, look, bro, I hear what you're saying, but that's not, you didn't need a diet.
Dude, there was a time.
You wanted to be high.
There was a point in time when Steve and I would just take this trucker speed. It had to be like 3 straight years of just anywhere if we wanted to go someplace or whatever the deal was.
Stuff was great. Well,
we
keep in mind.
Man, we were on trucker speed. There was absolutely no denying it. We go on the air on trucker speed. We get off the air and go to trucker speed. We go out on trucker speed. I mean, it was like nonstop trucker speed for about 3 years.
But it kind of became maintenance because one thing, boy, we really are role models. When you're super hungover.
Being honest.
Keep in mind, we had to work a little bit earlier. Our show came out at, 11?
11. We were fried.
So you'd get to work about 8 o'clock, whatever it is. But in that case, you're getting up at 6 in the morning. That's just not how we roll normally. But trucker speed came in handy because I don't know that we ever worked a day where we were not hungover.
No. And trust me,
it wasn't just you guys. When I worked at the liquor store, the one manager, like, he would make me go down to the store and get them all the time.
Really?
Yeah, that's why when Miles was like, oh, yeah, these little things. I was like, oh, yeah, I used to buy those for Aaron at the liquor store. But it was one of those things, like, I never thought about it being speed either, because what were they technically for, like, headaches or something?
They sold them at every corner store. Technically, it's a bronchodilator for people who have asthmatic.
All right, but
they
sold them
But people that had bronchial problems never bought those. They would go get something from the
doctor. Yeah.
People like us, we would take these things all the time.
I mean, your hair was standing up on your arm.
My hands would shake all the time.
You're sweating and you're
groaning. Like, I feel alive!
You couldn't get an erection for $1 million if someone put cash on the table. Like, there's no way that bad boy's working now. I'm too much flying on trucker speed.
Too high for sex, baby. Sorry.
Sorry, man. I'm just going to have to do something else.
I can't stop shaking.
That is a circle of hell.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is. It really. And then, a Baltimore Orioles pitcher died, and these things became illegal.
Corey Stringer died, a Minnesota Viking guy. There was a couple guys that were...
Right, because, like, hydroxycut used to have that stuff in them. Mm-hmm. That all got taken out.
They banned them all from the GNCs and all that stuff.
But keep in mind, both of these guys, they were also in situations where the temperature outside was stifling. And so Miles and I, in protest, were like, well, I don't do them when they're hot. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
We're inside.
Temperature control, bro.
Yeah.
Give me my truck a
speed. Sadly enough, I did an event with that guy and Elrod Hendricks, who was Orioles like third base coach or whatever. Mm. And I was flying on at the time. And they killed him. I was just like, Jesus.
Men's Room Blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Spencer. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, once upon a time in a land not so far away, my folks went out of town, and they were quite far out of town, and my stepdad at the time gave my sister some bud, and we decided we were gonna smoke it. For whatever reason, we didn't have a lighter or matches, so. Using our little young scientific minds, we grabbed a piece of paper, some hairspray, put it down the toaster, lit a candle, used a candle and a Pepsi can to get high. Well, after we were sufficiently high, we're both chilling on the couches. My sister says, hide the candle. Naturally, I threw it under the couch that I was sleeping on.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, a little while passes and I wake up. I'm really warm, starting to sweat. Wake up and I'm surrounded by fire. So I reach over to the other couch and I shake it and I'm like, hey, the couch is on fire. She's like, well, get the F off of it. Now she's running back and forth from the kitchen with glasses of water trying to put this couch fire out. Fire department eventually shows up to put the fire out. And I ask, where's your parents? Yeah, they're kind of out of town on the other side of the country. So naturally, they're home very soon after that, and we're in a lot of trouble. About 20 years later, finally told them it was that bud that my dad gave my sister.
Did they find it funny at all?
They did at that time.
Okay.
Not real funny. Not like laugh out loud, but it wasn't
any hard. I don't expect them to start slapping her knee, but at least give me a grin.
You got a little time pass, man. I mean, trust me. There's been many times where I've gone about, like, rubbing compound for... marks on vehicles that I've left that shouldn't have been driven by me and everything else. Like, coming home and car's really unusually clean. It's not mine. You know what I mean? Obviously been taken for a spin. I thought about it. I mean, it was like just, I wasn't allowed to take his car.
Of course.
So
that's why you couldn't tell.
Backed into a pole one night at a gas station, whatever, put this big yellow scrape down this white car, you know? So I spent like, I don't know, 2 hours with rubbing compound, trying to get all of the paint off of the back fender of his car, right? And then when I do, and I take it out, and then I wash it, and I realize, look, you can tell that one part of this car has been completely buffed.
Right.
The whole car is clean, but this one side has a sheen on it that's unbelievable. So what do I do now? I go buy Turtle Wax, and I got to wax the whole damn car just to kind of even the damn thing out.
And that's when he learned karate.
And waxing cars was not fun back then. Like, the wax was
it's
more
not
of a
now.
I mean, you're rubbing it on. Right. I was trying to even the whole thing out. And when he came back, they're gone from Mexico. He's like, did you wax my car? And I'm like, yeah, I waxed your car. Why? He's like, because there's green stuff in the molding. I could tell where there's wax in there you didn't get out. I was like, where? And he showed me. I was like, oh, I was trying to surprise you. He's like, you're trying to surprise me? And I was like, yeah. He's like, what happened to the car? I was like, nothing happened to the car. He's like, why isn't your car washed and waxed? I'm like, I was doing one at a time.
Did you ever tell him?
He knew.
He knew. But he did knew. You but he, did you no, ever
think,
tell him?
I think what he thought was
I know that OJ killed two people. No, he never told me.
I think what he thought was that I took his car out on a date.
And
cleaned the car up to go out on a date. I don't think he thought I wrecked the car.
You have sex in your car? No, dude, I wrecked it.
Oh, yeah.
Entirely different.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, too.
You had sex in the car, too?
Oh, yeah.
You're buffing out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It was a Saab 900. It was a nice car. You know what I mean? I was like, man, I don't have... Yeah. Anyway. Men's Room Blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.